Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, hello, everybody. The Wi-Fi is right here, or it's over there.
Would you read it for those of us who...
Sure. Okay, so it is the HSC guest is your network. The user is WordPress 001, and then the password, I got to look at that. All lowercase, F2, D as in dog, 7, B as in boy, 9. Did you get that?
Thank you.
All right, awesome. So we're going to talk a little security. But first, that's my contact info. I'll give it again at the end. But feel free, if you have any questions, you can tweet them at me, or you can email me, or of course you can just yell them at me right now. But if you think of something tomorrow, feel free to email me. Well, I don't really need this slide anymore because he pretty much covered it all. I've kind of grown up around computers, got my first one in 1982, learned how to code in BASIC, and did my first website in 97, which is kind of funny after I finished that website. So it's a total static site. Said I'd never want to do this again. This is just annoying as all get out. I did my first WordPress website. I think it was version 2.2. I know it was before the 2.5 release of WordPress. That was just literally setting up a blog and a theme for my mother. But that was my intro into WordPress. And then about 5 years ago, I did a lot of church work and was on staff and came out of seminary and started working with Faith Growth. And we help mainly religious organizations do digital. So a lot of communication consulting and how do we do websites that become a platform for their ministry, not just a brochure. And we do everything we do is WordPress and Genesis based. And so been doing that now for almost 5 years, and really, you know, just WordPress, as many of y'all will know, it was that back end being so easy to just ultimately publish for my customers, for, you know, our churches, and small businesses, you know, that they can just put the content in and hit the publish button and then it's out there. We take care of making it pretty, I like to say. We're going to paint the walls, you know, put in drapes and furniture and things. You know, that's all that CSS and things like that. Foundation, the studs and all that, you know, that's that back-end coding we're going to do. But we want to make it just easy for them to hit publish. And that was why I fell in love with WordPress, because it makes it so easy to become a publisher. So in our time together tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about security. And I have a couple caveats. This is more designed for... You don't have to be a big coder. Is this really designed more towards what are the basic things? And I'm a little lazy. And so what I've learned over the years is, you know, how can I kind of set it and forget it, to quote Ron Trappell, or you know, the whole rotisserie chicken thing? You know, familiar with that? How can we just kind of set it and forget it? And so that's kind of my approach. This is my set it and forget it approach. But first, we're going to have to define, you know, why do we need to take security serious? And so I call it the big bad. We're going to define the big bad first. And then we'll get into our tips and tricks. So the number three there, which I kind of think is funny, number three, we're going to talk about two. The two most crucial things you must do to your WordPress website. And then four, we'll go through a lot of other things. And then five, just a brief list of what are some things you can do if and when you do get hacked. So that's kind of what we're going to cover. Sound cool?
Yes.
All right, rock on. So talked a little bit about the approach. I said I was lazy. I already kind of did that a little bit. So what, you know, the good old-fashioned 80-20 rule, what can we do that you know, for 20% of the effort that's going to cover 80% of that? This is more geared, like, I think I already covered this slide, but it's more geared for the average user, and you're not going to need to know how to code. So let's define the big bad. Any Buffy fans in here? So we got to define the big bad. And if you know from season one, this is the big bad from Buffy. But a lot of times we think, oh, there's a hacker. And if you haven't been on the internet too long, you really imagine that there's somebody trying to hack your website that's sitting behind a computer and they've gone to your website and they're sitting there trying to get in. And you know, that's kind of what we imagine. You know, we see in movies, we see hackers, they're behind the boards and doing that. And really, that's not how hackers operate these days, except for in very rare circumstances. I mean, there are those type of hackers, but they really don't care about our websites to begin with. How, what is happening today with hackers, they're trying to gain access to the website because they want to gain access ultimately to the computing power. Because, I mean, your website is sitting on top of a web server, and they want to gain access to that computing power to basically ghost it, as they call it, and link a whole bunch of those together, and then they can use that computing power to do bigger and badder things on the internet. And so they're looking for low-hanging fruit, and they've designed bots that are going around sniffing to see, what is this website running? Do I know a vulnerability there? If so, let's try this exploit, and let's get in. So they don't know you personally for the most part, and they really don't care to know you personally. So it's not about personally, they're just looking for a vulnerability that might exist, and then they've written a program. You know, they're not doing this manually, this just going out, just like, you know, Google has bots that go and index your websites for search. Their bots are going out, reading through, looking for vulnerabilities, and if it's a known vulnerability, they're going to come in so they can capture some of that computing power you have going on, and then possibly use that for bigger exploits, denial of service attacks that you might have heard of, and other things like that. So the first thing that I always like to say is the big bad is not just really somebody with a too much Red Bull in their grandmother's or their mother's basement going after you personally. They might be drinking too much Red Bull and going after that, but they're looking to gain access to your site to do bigger things. Does that make sense? So that's the big bad. So the two most crucial things that we really have to talk about are your passwords. And honestly, most WordPress websites do not get hacked because of vulnerabilities. They get hacked because of weak passwords. And especially with, as a default, WordPress, this is not so much the default anymore because now you can really change it during the setup, but usually it was always admin was the first user name that it gave, and then, you know, some password. So if you think that everybody knows that, especially older generations of WordPress, that the default was admin, so let's just start trying lots of passwords. We'll come back to number two in a second. So this was there was an interesting study.
Nice, 32.
They analyze this every year. There's groups that analyze kind of what the most popular passwords are. This was done last year, so I haven't looked for the 2016 yet. So this is the 2015, and this is in a study that WP Engine put out. The most common password, so this is not just WordPress websites, this is any, banking websites probably, is 123456. So if I know that a lot of WordPress installs are using admin, and that these are the 50 most, you can go places on the website and download, more than just 50. Let's say 10,000 most common passwords. I can write a script real fast that's just going to go around and try admin this, admin that, admin this, admin that. So the biggest problem that our websites face are us and our crappy passwords. So what are some ways we can mitigate this? Well, we need random passwords. You know, you might have heard it described before as passwords that are not in the dictionary. Usually, to me, how I do that is I come up with a phrase, or my favorite way to do it is a song lyric, because I won't forget that. Then I sing along as I'm typing it in. It needs to be very long, unique. And then really what I've come to do now is I use a password manager, and I personally use 1Password, but I really always suggest people use LastPass or 1Password, because then you can get 20, 30, 40, 50 character passwords, and then you can have a different password for every one of your sites, to your banking, to whatever, and keep all that straight. The first thing we can do is we can up all of our password games. And we'll talk of some ways, if you're managing a WordPress website in a minute, how you can force all the users on that website to make stronger passwords. And ultimately, even the default that have come out, I don't know, was it 4.2? Someone tell me, where we changed this, where we went to the suggested password that WordPress is now suggesting a strong password. And you have to literally go in there and take that out to put in your own password, and then it'll quickly tell you now that it was weak. And I mean, that's something that we've gotten in the last, well, the last six, I forget which release cycle it was, but it was one of the ones in the fall. And so that's a big help, and at least tells people, hey, your password's good or bad. So the second thing I said we need to update, these are two biggest things. If you've been around the WordPress community anytime, especially this update, we want core and we want all of your plugins and your themes to always be updated. And why is it so crucial? And it's like I said, when they write that robot, they're looking for known exploits. As soon as a release is released, especially a security release, and they may not even tell, the WordPress core team or the plugin team may not even tell us exactly what the exploit is that's being fixed, but a smart person can go back and reverse engineer it, looking at the two different code bases, figure out what was affected. And so now they know a potential vulnerability. And then they can write something for that. So then they're going to go around and sniff, and they're going to say, oh, look, this person's running 3.8 of WordPress. Well, I know that 3.8 has this potential security flaw. So let me just insert this, and let me gain access to the website. And that's why it's very important that we're doing every security update. And we're doing it as soon as possible. And especially for all of our plugins. I mean, even some of my favorite trusted plugins have had security vulnerabilities in the last year. So, thankfully, they're really good developers that as soon as something came to their attention, they had patches out usually in 24 to 48 hours. I mean, Core has had security vulnerabilities before, but they get that stuff patched up and they're always looking for it. And there's a huge team always working on that. So it's about keeping it updated, because as soon as that update is pushed, it's easy for people to go back and figure out what exploits might be. Yes?
So how frequently are updates being, like, how often do you need to look at that to see if there's an update available?
It's a very good question. I actually have a plugin that'll send you an email when an update's been released. So in about three slides, I'll give you that answer. But I, but just to give you some other answers, I mean, hopefully, we're in our websites, I guess I'm approaching this, most people are there at least once a week or something, writing a blog post, so they're going to get the notification inside their website. But the other thing that you should know is, in the WordPress repo, all of our blogs, all of the plugins and themes and things have an RSS feed that you can subscribe to, and so if an update's been pushed, you can get that. So, I mean, you could have an RSS coming into your email. I do have a plugin that'll help automate some of that, but that's how I watch a lot of the key ones, is I'm subscribed to their RSS feeds, especially for websites that I manage for clients that I'm not in the back end every day to see that. And then we...
But once a week's a good rule.
Yeah, I'm inside once a week on all my websites. So I think it's a very good rule. Thank you. That goes back to the win. And the win is I would at least be on your website once a week, if not more than that. And if you pay attention, especially some of the really big stuff and the really used plugins, if you're watching, if you read, follow any of the news on WP Tavern, is it Post Status, and Torque, and some of the other big WP news sites, they all seem to, they have big releases because they want to get it out there to let us all know, to get updates when something is out, when there needs to be an update. And so if you're following those news sites, you'll probably know when there's been releases. So those are my two bigs, but then we'll talk about some different tips and tools, and we'll go beyond those. So some different plugins and services, and we'll get into the plugins I've already mentioned. But the first thing I think of here, beyond great passwords and updating your sites, is simply what type of a host are you using? And how many of y'all know, so we got regular versus managed. How many of y'all have heard the term managed hosting and have an idea of what that is? Well, good. Let's talk. So we'll kind of do that. I actually had a good example of this recently. Managed hosting, they do more stuff for you. They do a lot of the setup on the front end of what, when you're in traditional hosting, they basically, you're renting some space on a server somewhere. And they have a lot of options if you go into the seat panel, if you will, but you're totally responsible for setting all that up and hardening security. They're going to have a baseline of what they do, But beyond that, it's all on you. Manage is going to say, hey, we have a way that we're going to manage this for you. And it's set up this way. Some people don't like that because they take away some of your options. But they're doing that either to increase speed or to do security. And as you might guess, manage is always going to cost a little bit more. But I think if you're really worried about security, manage is a better way to go. And there's lots of different prices on the managed. I mean, I'll tell you, I use WP Engine. SiteGround has some nice pricing to get you with some WP managed hosting with some standards. We got Flywheel, we got Pagely, we got Pressable, or all other WordPress managed hostings. But one of the reasons I wanted to mention WP Engine in particular is they had a major thing happen in January. I don't know how many of y'all heard about them. Well, truthfully, their upstream provider was in the middle of a huge denial of service attack. And it did take down some of the sites, but at the same time, I have a ton of sites there, and it took down none of my sites, but they had to do a lot of maneuvering to keep us up. And they kept us up. And I got some emails, I was kept informed, but that's kind of what I'm paying for, is they're going to keep us up. And something is, the network is being attacked, and they were spinning up some new servers and other stuff. They were moving us around like crazy and doing all this in the back end. And that's what I would expect from a manager. Some lower end providers, they're just going to say, oh crap, the network is under an attack. We're mitigating it. But in other words, they're fighting that attack, but they're not necessarily doing things like moving us to new servers over here that aren't being affected to make sure that the customers are staying up. And that's a difference in service level between managed and regular hosting. Does that make sense? And then the other thing with managed host, and this was funny because I had a Bluehost site that I used just this. I have a Bluehost, this is just purely for testing, but this happened 2 weeks ago. I forgot that I had an old Joomla website there from a client that we did a WordPress website, and we're migrating their Joomla content into the WordPress website, and kind of, Joomla just got forgotten about over here. It was just... Anyways, the Joomla was a very old version of Joomla. It got hacked, some comment spam going on that was started using major server resources. So on regular hosting, when that kind of happens, not only are you left to fix it yourself, because like WP Engine and a lot of these others, A, have safeguards in there to keep it from getting hacked the first time, and if it does get hacked, they just fix it for you. Well, Bluehost says, oh, this is using too many resources. So they just cut my access off. They cut it off to the front end and to the back end. I can't even log in and fix it until I call them and deal with them and get in there. And we got it fixed, and ultimately I was like, well, it's kind of dumb. I forgot about that Joomla site. Let's just pull it down. But that's a different service level. But once again, you're going to pay a little bit more for managed. But one of the things, remember, we're on the set it and forget it. One of the things when I was doing a lot of research when I was first, I was like, I'm going to be responsible for some client websites, was how can I set it and forget it? And that first step for me was that beyond the passwords and keeping everything updated is I went to managed hosting. The other thing that a lot of managed hosts do is they take care of some of your updates. And depending on the particular host, like WP Engine does WordPress updates. They do not do any other updates. We have to do those. Some of the other companies out there will do plugin updates. And the other thing is a lot of plugins now are starting to do auto updates. And we're moving more to an auto update world. But so my first thing is I would encourage you, my third thing, if we keep going, one was really good passwords. Keep everything updated. And my third thing is make your updates easy and hardening your server by using managed hosting. Anybody here, I am a big WP Engine fan. Anybody else would recommend their host?
I was going to say I am too.
Okay, you are too?
I just want to make a comment about the shared hosting.
Yes.
Are you familiar with EIG?
Yeah, well, EIG owns Bluehost and CoScader, but yeah.
They own like dozens and dozens of the top shared hosting companies. So my concern is one company owns all of these shared hosting companies, and like with CoScader, who I've been with for a while, the service has gone down. Since they sold out to EIG. So, for instance, SiteGround is, I've checked, they're owned by EIG.
I was not aware of that.
I just contacted them this week.
Seriously?
I asked them, are you owned by EIG? And they said, we are.
just bought them a couple months ago.
SiteGround.
Well,
wow, that's news.
It is worth the point.
No, that's thank you for bringing that to my 2 months. I was unaware of that, and I'm going to quit promoting
it. These deals are always different when EIG comes in and takes over. So sometimes you get a really good situation. Probably I don't notice at all, but I would guess since nobody's noticed anything major with SiteGround changes.
It's only been 2 months, though. They usually have 6 months.
Management gets when they get to stay, things stay the same. For HostGator specifically, and I think Orange Host or something like that, the part of the deal was that management was leaving. They were done. That was their exit strategy.
Right.
And so it's always a toss-up.
You can't blame them for
Well, the EIG has been consolidating the network and bringing everything.
Oh, yeah.
Are you looking at Site 5?
That could be I might be mixing the two. But
yeah, Site 5 is EIG.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to mention, too, is Media Temple, they have, like, cloud hosting.
Yeah.
So you're more protected from a single server.
Technically,
that's
they
have WordPress managed
hosting. They are.
Anyway.
So, yeah, and that's where a lot of the traditional web hosts are now, because WordPress powers almost a quarter of the market, they're introducing these WordPress-specific plans now. But, Carrie, you were going to mention the host you like.
Plus one for WP Engine. I also use Flywheel. Really like about them that they do daily backups and easy like restores.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even mention all that
restores.
Stuff.
But they're also generally more hardened than I've never had any client site hacked on either one of those platforms.
Yeah. And then
I love
the big.
Automatic backups.
I'm sorry, what?
I love the automatic backups and the fact that it takes like 5 seconds to restore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pantheon's another really good one.
Well,
it's very
developer focused.
Yeah, I've been meaning to try that. That's actually that's on my list of things to try. The other big news this week is Automatic went ahead and bought the controller, the rest of the stake in Pressable, which Pressable, if you remember, was ZippyKit before that. But now Automatic is, they're also an investor in WP Engine, but now they own their own managed hosting. I think they actually already own a majority stake. I think that the owner, I can't think of the CEO's name, was really ready just to get out, and so they bought him out, is the way I understood the article I read this week. But Pressable is now 100% owned by Automatic. Any of y'all familiar with Pressable? Right. Another managed hosting provider in the market. And then you were saying Pantheon, which I've been intrigued to play with their services. And I think we're going to hear more about Pantheon soon from another person in this room. And I think Pagely's been doing some really good stuff, especially on the upper end of some scalability and some stuff they're running on the Amazon server stuff. But like I said a minute ago, passwords were really important. And this is a plugin that lets you set minimum standards for your users on your site. And I forgot to mention earlier, I have all these Jump is basically Bitly, it's the same company, but to make it easy so you didn't have to go to where it is, that'll take you straight to where it is in the repo. But 4 strong passwords will allow you to make everybody, they cannot set a password unless it meets minimum standards. I will say that, depending on if you're using some of the managed hosts, you may not need this because, like, for instance, WP Engine has their own version of this running as a drop-in plug-in on your site and forces everything to be strong passwords. But if you're not running on a managed, I encourage you to use this plug-in. Another plug-in that I like, you have 2 options for this now, but limit login attempts. This is especially where they're trying the admin, and you can tell this is screenshots from a while ago looking at that. But admin there, this is one that, like, if they get it wrong, say you can set it, but say if they get it wrong 4 times in a row, it locks out that IP address for 20 minutes, or you could say 10 times in a row and locks them out for an hour. You get to set those in the back, but this is one that does. The other thing is that there's a log, and you can go in there and see how many times has somebody tried to log in with admin, which is a really good. But to this same end, this same feature, if you're a Jetpack user, has been added to Jetpack And Jetpack has this kind of, you know, especially if you're using Jetpack, you'll say, we've blocked this many attempts. It's just basically the same, it's the same thing as limit login attempts. It's blocking these brute force attacks. Yes.
If I use limit login attempts right now, should I just get rid of that and use Jetpack since I have it in there, just have less plugins?
Well, I mean, if you don't have it enabled in Jetpack, I mean, it's not causing you any overhead.
Okay.
So I would just use whichever one you prefer. But know that Jetpack added it, and a lot of people might not even know they already have it there, and then just go enable protection. And then the other thing that Jetpack has that's not 100% security related, but that's recently added that you might want to consider using is they're doing site monitoring, so you can get like a message if your site goes down or some things like that.
It also has protection for botnet attacks.
Oh, well, that's kind of what we're talking about here with the brute force attacks.
Yeah.
The botnets, yeah. So there are, I will tell you, just, I've been preparing another talk next week where I'm actually going to talk a lot about Jetpack, and I've slowly, 2 years ago I would have told you it's some major bloatware, and they're starting to win me. There's still a lot of stuff there, but they're starting to make people, they're starting to, because we can offload certain things to .com servers, they're starting to make it a lot easier for people that manage multiple websites. And I'm still saying it does a lot of stuff, and you still have to be picky on what you're going to enable and not enable, and that's kind of annoying, and I hate that they're so braggart that they put themselves at the top right of my dashboard. There's still something that I like about it, but I'm coming around to liking that. And then I was talking with one of the developers at WordCamp DFW back in, what was that, October? I don't know, over there in Arlington. That many people in this room work so hard to put on, and he was telling me that some stuff that's on some of the search functionality that they're testing right now on VIP automatic, that is, they is testing on VIP. It's some machine learning type fun stuff with search is in the roadmap to be added to Jetpack, which I found very fascinating. I mean, that could still be a year or two down the road, but you know, that's in the roadmap. So there's some things I'm liking about Jetpack, even though. I'm trying to be positive because it's gotten a lot of hate and I found out also talking with one of the developers, I think some of the reason that it was really not liked by a lot of us .org people was this particular developer was the first who was a .org developer who came in to work on that team. Everybody else had always been in the .com world, the WordPress.com world, that is, so the automatic world. And he's really been able to give them a perspective on how we really do things, if you will, as .org developers or self-hosted developers. And if there's anybody that's really new and doesn't understand what I mean by the difference between WordPress.com, .org, self-hosted, raise your hand and I'll give you the quickie real fast. But does everybody, yeah, put your hand down, Carrie. Oh.
No, I'm serious.
I'm sorry, I thought you wanted the
Not
difference between.
Not everybody may want to raise their hand, but
I'm sorry.
That is
okay.
A distinction between .com and .org.
Thank you for asking that question. So WordPress is a free, wonderful, open source project, and if we can go download it from WordPress.com, and then we have to install it on our own servers. And it's open, and we can do a lot more with it. But to help bring about WordPress to the world and publishing and to make it easy, a company called Automatic, founded by Matt Mullenweg, one of the co-founders of WordPress, does a hosted version of WordPress, and it's at WordPress.com, and very similar ecosystem, but you can't, like, the biggest difference is you can't use plugins in there because they're running the overall system. They have a lot more widgets and things. And then they're also the makers of Jetpack that brings some of the features of .com into the self-hosted world. That was the quick 5-0 of the quick description. So anyways, that's a long story to say. I know Jetpack hasn't gotten much love. I'm starting to give it some love. The next two plugins are some security plugins that do lots of different things. WordFence is a freemium. In other words, they have a freer version. They also have one that you can upgrade to. They have lots of features. Quite honestly, I've played with them. I don't think they're bad, but I just would get managed hosting is kind of how I look at it. But I raise them up as they are good plugins. And the other one, kind of along with WordFence, is iTheme Security from our good friends up there in Oklahoma City at iThemes. once again, very good plugin, does some really, you know, does what it says it's going to do, but, you know, and that's a freemium model as well, so there's, you know, there's the free version, some upgraded version. So I don't really use them. I've kind of played with them, tested them, think they do what they say, but I don't really use them on any websites because my managed host is providing me these same services.
The one big feature that I find from those that you can't get out of managed hosts is they move your login screen. So instead of logging in at WP Admin, if it's in a different place, it's security through obscurity. Yeah,
that's true. And that's where
some people don't know where to log in.
Yeah. And that might be something you want to consider, especially if you're doing one website. I have so many websites, I would never want to move that.
It's fun when you're bored, and you can all of a sudden move your login screen to, you know, slash yo, or something like that.
That's fine. You know, why not? Maybe I should do that. Or I'll just put it in my name, and then we
can... Take a cue, do it the Konami Nintendo code.
And then... Carrie, this is a plugin I said I'd get to in a minute, but this is literally, you can put it onto your site and you can add your email. That's what's blacked out there is the actual email address. And you can and there's a couple settings on how often you want it to update you. Well, it's basically notify me about plugin updates, yes. Notify me about theme updates, yes. Then it will just send you an email. You get to put your email address in there. And it will send you, the frequency drop down starts at hourly. So you could potentially get emails hourly if there was a release that often. The only person I know who releases like that is Yoast. Yoast, oh gosh. Actually, Yoast is the one that I have the only one that I wait 48 hours for another quick patch is Yoast. I'm like, we wait 48 hours unless it's a major security thing. Anyways, that's a side thing. But this plugin, WP Update Notifier, will let you know. If you're not going to your website at least once a week, like I suggested earlier, put this plugin in. It'll send you some emails. So that's kind of, we're going to get into just a second what to do if you've been hacked. The quickie guide, just a quick review. We have strong passwords. It was my first thing. No more 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Update everything. Do your updates, and then managed hosting. And then we just went through a list of really good plugins that are helpful. Any questions before I kind of move into what if you do get hacked? I like that. Either I'm really good or really boring. I'm joking. I'm really good. No. So I have three simple steps. What do you do if you've been hacked? Well, let's have some backups, please, hopefully. And hopefully you can identify when the hack happened so you can go to a backup before that. Because if you don't really know when the hack happened, some of your backups will have the hack. Then I really think the most important thing is the number two there, because I don't know how many people I've dealt with that, like, okay, so I need to get into FTP, I need to get into, you know, we need to get into the back end of your website, and they don't, you know, so it's easy when something like this happens, because you're going to feel lots of stress anyways, keep somewhere, in, you know, a secure file or something, all those important things. Who is your domain registrar? Who is your host? How do you get into cPanel? How do you get into FTP or SFTP? You know, those, what's your admin login to WordPress? All those types of things. So, you know, I call it the oh shit sheet. Keep all that together. Keep it updated as you change that. So that then when you get help from somebody, and then what I say is, I've fixed enough hacks in my life that when I found this wonderful company called Secure, that I just let them fix it. And I will tell you, they have a plan that's like a couple hundred dollars now. They'll fix it, and then they'll monitor your site for the next year. I don't really know of a cheaper way to do it, to be quite honest. I mean, the first hack I ever fixed took me 2 days. And, you know, that was my site, so I wasn't paying anybody. But, I mean, it took a long time to really go in there. They're dealing with lots of stuff. They can usually get it done in a couple hours. And they're not charging you hourly. And especially for folks that may not be developers. I mean, I know if you're probably a developer, you may not use security. I just let them fix it now. I can't think of a reason that I want to go in there and do it anymore. And so I'm a big fan of that. And then there is another company. What's the other one?
SiteLock,
thank you. That I have not personally used, but I'm hearing very good things about. So I probably should update this to say Security or SiteLock to update this slide. But really, what do you do if you've been hacked? I say go to the professionals. and when you go there, so, you know, have some backups. So that's a possibility. If you have your sheet of all that important information, you'll be able to give that to people like Security or SiteLock that can go in there and do it. So that's my three steps. What do you do if you've been hacked? further reading, and we'll have some time for more questions. That whole article on passwords and what passwords people choose, at the very beginning where I had that screenshot of those real simple passwords, that's at that first link. And the second link is, if you want some advanced tips, that's an article on that. I intentionally chose to stay. I mean, there's some people who say, hey, like he was saying, you know, security by obfuscation. What's that fun word I can't pronounce right now?
Obscurity.
Obscurity, thank you so much. It gets into some of those tips because I deal with a lot of websites, so there are some standards that I love about WordPress, but there's some people would say, I mean, there's a way you could change the prefix in the database or some other things like that. Not bad ideas, but more advanced than what we're going to cover in this talk today. So if you want to get into some advanced stuff, go read that article is what I would say there. And so that is the, I'm just ready for whatever questions you may have. And if I don't know the answer, I'll make it up or tell Carrie to answer it. So, yes.
Okay, I have a couple questions.
Sure.
Okay. Whenever they hack your site, what part of it is actually hacked?
That can vary, honestly. It depends on kind of what they're trying to do with the hack, but, I mean, basically, anything.
I mean, they're just like pointing it somewhere else. I've never had one. They're like pointing it somewhere else. Are they like changing some part of the code?
Yes. I mean, literally, depending on what they're trying to accomplish, it can be anything from a vandal, if you will. They'll put up a new splash page like this site's been hacked by XYZ, and you know that's what's going to be showing to the world.
Okay, so where do they do that?
Well, I mean, they just swap out the code. I mean, they just put
just put
a new index.php in your folder, and that's what's going to show, and it's never going to load WordPress. Or more stealthy attacks, they're going to inject things into the database. I mean, they're going to inject things in your code so that they can start doing things on the back of your server. They're also going to inject things into your database that if some of that gets deleted, it'll write it again, and there's the hack again. I mean, so it depends on how advanced level they are. But basically, it could be just about anything. And depending on what they're trying to do to your website, is it just a simple, you know, like graffitiing on the wall? Well, that's going to be one level of a hack. To more, you know, we want to turn your computer into a big, I mean, your web server a part of our huge botnet type of attack. Or do they really want to be malicious? You know, and those want to go under the radar, and they're not really going to touch much of your website. To a spam bot, the website that got hacked, that Joomla website, what got hacked was they were inserting all these links to cheap Versace, you know, cheap designer type goods. But that was even clever because they didn't want the site owner to notice. It was only on every so many site page loads was it injecting all these links off to weird designer stuff. So there's lots of different attacks. It kind of depends on what are they trying to accomplish. Gary, you had something to add?
I was just saying, an example was maybe 7 years ago, I had someone hack into my site and they put on the front, not on the front page even, they sent me an email and said, go to this page. This is proof that we've hacked in your site and we want $10,000 or we're taking it down. And I went to the link and it was my site and they put a naked lady dancing on the page.
Jeez.
You know, the code. So they obviously had gotten into the site. So we had to shut the site down immediately. You know, and spend days going through there making sure we cleaned everything out. So luckily, they weren't that great.
Yeah.
You know, that we were able to get everything out. We never heard from them again. But that could that's a worst case scenario.
Yeah, that is the worst case.
And if it's a money producing site, you know, you don't want to lose everything you've taken.
You don't want
to build.
You don't want to lose your community because you got naked lady dancing.
So if you have your backup and it's not been hacked, can't you just replace it, or will they just go back? I mean,
well,
change your password and if you just take the whole site down, change your password, put your backup up, would they?
Well, I mean, potentially. I mean, it's if they got in a different way. I mean, the password, yeah, you change your password, that's good, but did they get in that way? So then we have to make sure is everything updated and that.
Oh, yeah, good.
And
where
so,
they could come into a
yeah.
plugin or something.
And that's where I still would like to use, well, like the last slide, like where I'd like to use somebody like Superior, because they will go through, they'll be able to identify exactly what type of attack it was. And because what they're doing is they're monitoring, they do some stuff like Cloudflare now, they add firewalls in front of people's sites, and they're seeing, if you will, the chatter on the web of what hackers are doing. And so then it's easier for them to diagnose looking for certain signatures, if you will. And because they have such a huge database, I like relying on a company like that or Sidewalk that's building these huge databases and is able to go through my code and identify, oh, that's this signature, that's this signature, so we need to go look for XYZ, and we can pull all that out. And so that's why I like to use those folks. But in essence, what you're saying is, yes, it's true, but I don't 100% trust. I mean, one of the reasons I would say I want you to have backups is that we have something to go to and start with if the current thing has been so corrupted that we have nothing to start with. But even if we have a backup, I'm still going with that scan, and I'm going to want somebody to look at it because I'm not going to 100% trust it's clean until I have it scanned and looked at. Yes?
What do you use for backup?
Oh, very good question. My host provides it, but before I was using a host that provided it, I used Backup Buddy for my themes. Any other favorite backup programs out there?
I had really good luck with all-in-one migration.
Okay.
I tried Duplicator, and I couldn't get it to work right. It was my fault, probably, because I forgot it was on a Mac. I downloaded my site, and it automatically unzipped it, and I tried to... I forgot to turn off the zip. So then I tried to... already messed up the sites. I couldn't go back and do it. So I tried. I'd done two of them. I did all one migration. It worked really good. Slick, clean, none.
Thank you. What were you going to say, Mark?
Migrate DB Pro. And it's soon going to not just do the database, but if they haven't added already, the ability to do the entire themes and plugin folder as well. So.
Big fan of Delicious Brand. It's called Migrate DB Pro. I actually use that in... We use that in development. That's how we move the database around.
Yeah, this one moved everything. It moved all the plugins. It moved everything.
Yes, ma'am, at the very back.
This is going to sound very simplistic, but why do people want to hack your site?
Oosh, you missed that fun part of the talk.
Yes, I did.
Well, that means we get to go back to the really fun slide, too. So, there was a whole slide... Oops. Okay. So we have to define the big bad. And if you're a Buffy fan, then you understand what I'm referring to. If you're not, we'll talk about it later, afterwards. Now, quickly, we have an image from TV and movies, you know, hackers, they're sitting there on the computers, they're trying to break in, and it's this individual, you know, typing like crazy to go in there. And I'm not going to say it doesn't exist, but when it comes to you and me, that's not what's happening. What's happening is they're to do big, big hacks, they need massive amounts of computer power, and they don't want to pay for it. So what most of the time is happening is they want to make a botnet or ghost network, as it's called, and they're going to use your web server to tie together with lots of other web servers so they have massive amounts of computing power to go do other things. Also on the dark web, maybe they just go find all this, and then they sell it to other people that want to do things. I mean, you can buy time on these botnets to go do these things. And so what they've done is they've written programs that are out there sniffing, and I call it the low-hanging fruit. They're looking for people that are using easy passwords. They're looking for people that are using older software where it's a known exploit, and then they go in. And then they're doing it because they want to use your resources, basically, that you're paying for, to do other things. But it's not directly to really, you know, they really don't know who you are. And it's a computer, you know, it's a program that's just like Google's robots go out and index the web. they're out there sniffing the web, just trying to find a vulnerability and insert themselves if they can. So it's not really personal. Yes?
I wanted to ask about comments.
Yes.
I've got a couple sites where, you know, you go on and you see all these crazy comments with, like you say, the cheap goods and links and whatnot. So, you know, I go through and I look and see, is there anything that even looks remotely valid? No. So I installed a plugin that says delete all comments. So I'm like, well, what is the good of having comments if you're just going to delete them all? So like, how do you manage comments and try to keep ones that are of any value?
That's a very good question. And probably something that should make it into this presentation. I mean, I'll tell you, Akismet is what I use a lot, but there are a couple other plugins we talked about. But Akismet Match is looking for comment spam and kind of pulls things out that are spammy or they've been used. Well, first we should say that, once again, these are not individuals. Back in the day, Google put a lot of ranking on how many links you had, and somebody woke up one day and said, oh, if we put links in comments on all these blogs over the place, it will increase our Google ranking. Google now kind of considers this spam. I mean, this is like 10 years ago, but the fact that people are still out there doing this and inundating our websites with such spam, what a pain. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. These are not invalid comments, but how do we do, we want to have comments, we want to have conversation. So on a lot of my sites, I use Akismet. And Akismet, there is a way that you can get it for free if it's for personal use, but if it's a business or anything like that, there is monthly fees associated with that. There's another one, why can't I think of the name of it right now, that I use that, because most of the time this is robots. Maybe somebody will know the name of it if I tell you how it works. It puts an extra field that's hidden.
Honeypot.
Well, it's not a CAPTCHA, it's a honeypot. Basically, the bots will see it because it's not visible to that. And so if there's any information in there, it sends it to spam automatically because the bot will fill it in, whereas a real person will not fill that field in. And what was it called?
Honeypot. If you put honeypot in
the repo,
in the search box on the plugin repo,
yeah,
you'll find anything from comment honeypot to contact form 7 honeypot and anything else. So anytime you get something, say, not just in the comments, but contact form 7 and a bunch of other ones, it will check and see, did the automatic person from cheap Nikes in India fill out all three forms?
Yeah.
Well, they're spam because this form wasn't even displayed.
Exactly.
So honeypot.
Yeah. And I like that better than CAPTCHAs. Because
yes.
Who wants a CAPTCHA?
I can't read them at the time.
Well, and even the one where I have to, that's gotten, like, because Google has one that's like, you just click and it's, you certify you're not a robot. Well, I still find that annoying. But, so.
Yeah, the other new one is I'm not a bot or something like that, just roll square.
Google reCAPTCHA that does that has been watching your activity on the net, and they have heuristics to decide whether you're a person or a bot. And if you've been behaving in human-like ways, you click the checkbox and keep on going. If they wonder about you, then you get some other crap to fill in.
That's exactly problems.
Yeah. Are you saying?
Do you do off-site backups for any of your sites?
Yes, actually all my sites, and they're just stored to Amazon.
Any
S2 services?
Worth expanding on that at all, or no? You don't seem thrilled with the idea.
Because we don't. I don't have a good solution. I don't even like how we're doing it.
I've had an instance where a site was hacked, and then they, because you know my clients are always so brilliant, they use the same login and password for their WordPress site as their hosting site, and I couldn't access any of their backups that the host was supposedly doing. And then of course there's the other fun stuff when the host says they have a backup, but they don't really. So. I agree that there's not a great solution.
The solution that depends on your host, but I can just talk with what I had experience with. I mean, we had Backup Buddy going to Dropbox for a while. We had back, and that was sketchy. I think the integration's gotten better because we had Backup Buddy going into our S2, our Amazon Web Services, and then now we have everything on WP Engine, which does nightly backups for us, and I don't want to get into how we're getting them off-site there, but I don't like it right now. And I guess that's why I'm not excited, because I'm still looking for a better I'm looking for a better solution for what my own sites are doing. But I think it's a good idea to have them off-site. I think it's even a better idea to use different passwords for everything. So, I mean, that is the interesting thing. What is real funny is, you know, you talk about the hackers, and I read some interesting articles where they're really getting in on individual people. It's they're not even really doing code. It's because they will call up and pretend to be so-and-so here and get just enough information from this account, and then come over here to this account and get just enough more information so they can finally get enough information to get what they really want. I don't know, does that make sense? An example would be, I'm trying to think of the hack I'm thinking of. I mean, they got some information from, like, you know, iCloud, actually, and then some information from over here. They're able to put enough in, you know, and that's just by lying to agents on the phone, pretending to be you, pretending to be a family member, and to see what they can get. And so really, that is more like when I'm thinking identity theft and stuff, that's more likely how they're going to come after you for that type of thing than to really go and break into stuff unless you then... But then they get just enough information to get into something. And then because we tend to use the same passwords for everything, they can get into everything.
So keep your Facebook privacy on.
Any other questions? Yes.
Because WordPress is, you know, uses so much stuff that's not visible, you know, because it's in files. Then it can't really mirror a WordPress site, can they?
I don't understand the question.
In HTML, they just come in and just mirror your site.
So you're talking, they can just scrape it and put it over here.
Yeah.
But because WordPress is using PHP server-side,
yeah,
to, you know, well, that's, yeah, well, I mean, mirror that they want to just steal your whole website, I guess. I haven't run into that, I guess.
Yeah, we did a website for someone, and they just came in and mirrored it. There's programs out there for free that you just go out and you get the program and you just go mirror any
HTML. I mean, I can still suck. I can still, I mean, there are programs that can still take a WordPress website.
I mean, you can physically go do it by just getting the source code and get it off, but these are programs that will go do it for them, so they don't even have to do it. It just, like we were talking about, they just run around and just grab sites. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't think you could do that with WordPress.
I'm sure everything has to render. Everything has to appear in your browser, so if it appears in your browser screen, it can be copied and pasted. So you just write a program that does it for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's any. I mean, it's more complicated, but it can be done.
So any good nightmare scenarios that you've had to deal with in all your years of security worth sharing?
I wouldn't say worth sharing, but... No, I mean, I would just tell you that I've had some things happen, and then I just went and looked for better solutions. And for me, that was paying other people to deal with it. And you know, when I say that, it's not like hundreds of dollars. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, WP Engine has a plan that starts at $27 a month. It's similar with all the other hosting. And when your website gets that valuable and is making money for you, I mean, what you're saying then is it's, you know, just about $300 a year. And, you know, you think security systems at your house, if you're paying for monitoring, you know, that you'll change the locks. And I mean, you know, it's just, we have to get past the day. There was a day that, you know, hey, a good $5 hosting was good. And if you're using $5 hosting, then you have to expect that it's like living in a house with no lock on the front door. You know, and there's, you know, hey, if I'm out in the country and I'm in the middle of nowhere, you know, there's a time when that's acceptable. And there's a time when that's not. And if you're making money off of this website. And so I guess I just kind of learned from those lessons that I really... and those websites were not, in a lot of those cases, websites were not worth that much, so we just killed them and started over, because there wasn't really much content there to begin with. And some of that was that I kind of forgot to mention, that, you know, we do a lot of maintenance and hosting of client websites, so it was like, we're going to be responsible for that, and so that's, you know, it's a revenue stream for us, we're going to be responsible for that, how do we do that? In a very responsible way, because I don't want to have to fix all these hacks. And so that's some of the reason why I have providers that do that. But, you know,
it became an easier way to solve that.
Any thoughts on SSL?
Yes, do it. I have a whole second rant on that, because I consider that a different type of security than the security we're talking about here. But
we can't hear the question.
Oh, SSL. He said, have any thoughts on SSL? Do it. We have the Open SSL project, which is still a little bit complicated if you're not a developer, which will let you do free SSL. But if you're not a developer, you can get an SSL certificate. Rapid SSL will give you one for $50 a year. And so SSL encrypts your communication from your web server to the individual's computer, a browser, actually. And so everything is encrypted that goes back and forth. And one of the big things, and we're having a big encryption battle. I mean, if you were around in the 90s, you knew the government was fighting encryption then and didn't like it, but they gave up. And now, you know, the iPhone thing. But it encrypts, and we have a lot of unencrypted information flowing over the internet. And that's not necessarily the best thing. And I mean, if you do not have SSL and you have a contact form, that's unencrypted. So we're sending, you know, people's email addresses and all that unencrypted. And it's so easy to do, I say do it. And Google's supposedly going to start preferring SSL websites. But hey, they say Google's going to prefer lots of things, so I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big SEO person. But I'm kind of a big screw the NSA kind of a guy. So encrypt the web, that's my motto right now.
You know, if you say strong passwords, encrypting it can only make it even better.
Yeah. So. And if you're a developer, go check out the OpenSSL project.
I think SiteGround has got a one-click install button now for installing your free SSL.
Really?
I think so, but you have to do it every month, I believe.
Yeah, that's
kind of fun. You know, keep cycling those certificates so you supposedly makes it more secure. Step in the right direction.
Makes it more of a pain.
Indeed.
Because that's a whole separate talk on taking your website secure, your SSL, because it does add. Once you get used to how it works, I mean, all your assets, everything, you know, you're linking out to offsite content, you need to link out to HTTPS. That's another talk for another day. Yes, sir?
Instead of SSL, why not use VPN?
Well, it's two different things. SSL allows anybody coming to your website to do that. VPN, you're tunneling in through a specific server.
Yes, so I was thinking about if you're going to log into your own.
Yes.
And like if you're like in a public place.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of .dot. I mean, I'm on a VPN right now because this is a public network. Yes. And for people that don't know, virtual private network, so the best way to kind of explain this is if you work for a company and you're in their physical offices and you log on, you do everything on the internet and everything through their big computer, which has firewalls and everything like that. But you want to work from home one day, you can use a VPN and it gives you a secure tunnel that's totally encrypted between your computer and this server over here, and then you go out to the big internet through that server. And so it's a secure way for your communication between your local computer and that server that you've tunneled into. Not necessarily everything is secure from that tunnel out into the regular internet, but it's very good when you're on public networks like this, coffee shops, etc. And there are VPN providers. Another fun thing, there are some VPN providers, if you like to stream things from around the world, that will let you choose where your server is located that you're tunneling to. So let's go watch the latest episodes on British TV. We'll just go to the London VPN.
It's very handy when you're in Canada and you want the newest episode of, you know, something like Game of Thrones.
Exactly. Or especially, I mean, honestly, we have the best streaming TV on Netflix and things in the United States, so to come into the United States is a pretty good one. But that's a secondary reason. But yes, I'm a pro VPN person.
Going back to SSL, we got one of our clients to do that because I had been reading about Google giving it preference. So I didn't get to choose which certificate, though. There's this other guy who's nerdier than I am that's responsible for hosting. So he chose one, and when I click on my little lock, it says, your connection to this site is encrypted using an obsolete cipher suite. It uses TLS 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
Is that critically inferior? Is it okay for now?
It's inferior, and you need to get off it. You need to go to TTL2.
Okay.
I mean, they're literally phasing it out right now. It's end of life. It would be like running Windows 95.
So I don't know why he would have... I mean, he had to physically make a choice to get that, didn't he? So, I guess I'll just
have
that means to...
it's like 128-bit instead of 256, and you can now break 128-bit encryption with a standard laptop and a dual-core processor or something like that.
Okay.
That's usually the reason for the higher standards.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is. But yeah, so I would get, and I mean, you can probably do that without necessarily getting a new certificate. There's probably was a choice when you got the certificate, because I know that I have that choice. You can get a certificate that runs at 256, or you can get I have a choice sometime. I don't know why I would choose the lower one, but I'm like, and I can just download all the stuff for the lower one, and I haven't figured that out yet. But I would work with your certificate provider. But I mean, to do that, you're gonna have to regenerate the CSR and certificate. Anyways, that's a whole other talk. Sorry.
can you talk about Let's Encrypt?
I mean, Let's Encrypt. Oh, you want to talk about it?
Oh, that was the one I was at. When I said SiteGround had the one click button, it's Let's Encrypt, not OpenSSL. Yeah. OpenSSL is the PHP standard. Let's Encrypt is the free SSL.
Yeah, well, it's still not... I mean, if they're doing a one click, though, because, I mean, you go and look at the standard. To use it right now, you pretty much have to know how to code.
Because that was the idea, is to make it all API-driven, make it so programmers could do it easily.
So, I mean, the basic thing is right now... And, I mean, there's still reasons to go to these certificate providers. Certificate providers are providing you, basically they're saying, hey, we know who you are, and we trust you. And then you're giving us a code from your server, and then they generate a certificate for you, and they kind of put the two keys out there. But you have to pay for that service. Let's Encrypt is saying, hey, you can set that up on your own without having to pay for that service. It's a quick, easy example. Unless you're really big, probably wouldn't use it, especially if you're using e-commerce, because some of the certificates give you a level of insurance if you're doing money exchange. But, you know, Amazon creates their own SSL. Google creates their own SSL certificates. Facebook creates their own SSL. So, I mean, there's a level at which you can protect yourself doing your own SSL, but there's a level at which we're also small. And if you're dealing purely in data, you're not taking, and it's not e-commerce, I think the Let's Encrypt movement is awesome. If I'm dealing money on my site, I'm still probably want to go buy one of the certificates. And probably one of the certificates that's a little bit more than $50 a month, because there's levels of insurance that comes along if fraud happens on your website.
Interesting note, Amazon doesn't have the more expensive SSL certificate. They use the standard one.
It is true. You're right.
It's kind of a funny thing to know.
Largest online seller was probably running so
they
much.
They probably
more.
Don't need a
WP Engine told me to use the standard one.
Even for e-commerce? They say to use their specific. I mean, they're using Rapid $50.
I think extended validation literally just adds the we know who this person is.
Well, yeah, it adds that, but I mean, there's depending on. I mean, because you can buy certificates up to $750 a year.
Sure.
And if there's, once you get to extended validation, there starts being insurance associated with. And so that's where, you know, do you want that level of protection? I'm not going to pay $750 a year. But and some of that is, who is your credit card? Another thing when it comes to taking money is, are you meeting the minimum standards of what your credit card processor wants? In other words, where are you shifting liability? Because they're going to try to shift liability to you for fraud, and you want to try to shift all the liability to them for fraud. So that's a whole other topic.
That's a whole topic.
Yeah, exactly. But I can answer questions, or I'm finished, or we can go party at St. Patrick's Day. You might have other plans, you know, where you're I do have my, I wore my green work camp shirt. under my company shirt. But yes, thank you for inviting me, Mark. I appreciate being here.
Thank you so much, Chris. It was a wonderful presentation. Just to kind of follow up, guys, first thing, I have a couple of free hosting. Nobody as cool as WP Engine, but GoDaddy. I got free cards. So does anybody want a year of free hosting?
GoDaddy.
Sure. Free to all. One of the benefits of going to as many WordCamps as I do, never a shortage of free hosting cards. Another thing, we will be...